go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for just again the opportunity to come here to your place of worship, Lord. And wherever we are, we can worship you, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray now that your word would be glorified and magnified. And Lord, again, there's many prayer requests. We just pray that you answer all those requests, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, that you give us something good from your book, and we thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with some of the things that are going on in the news today, you may have no hope. I read or hear in the news sometimes stuff that's really depressing. I mean, I'm sure each of you, you know, even if you don't get a newspaper, you know, I'm subbing at the school, so when I go there, I usually buy a newspaper, and I start reading the newspaper. Probably a stupid thing to do, but you know, I read the other day that, you know, now young children are being allowed to change their gender because they think that they are of the other gender. I'm sorry, but you know, it's a sick world. Obama is apologizing for a Quran that got burned. I've never heard him apologize for a Bible that's been burned. More and more states are making it legal that, you know, two people of the same gender can get married. You know, and it says in Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it also be also in the days of the Son of Man. All right? And boy, we're getting there. So, and there's such, you know, a group of people have taken a symbol as, you know, biblical and beautiful as a rainbow and changed it into a perverted thing. Kids in schools nowadays, when they're drawing a rainbow, they're probably not thinking of Noah's flood and that God promised, hey, I'm never going to flood the world again. They're thinking of some other perverted thing. Actually, I don't even know exactly what it is, but I know it's perverted, and I don't want to know. The twisting up of our language, everything else. I mean, things are just, sometimes it seems like there's no hope. So I find it quite queer that these things are happening. That's just because I watched that movie the other day, Anne of Green Gables, and they had that old language. I like that. But I find it quite queer that these things are happening. And but that brings me to today's message. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. They don't. Christ doesn't want us to have no hope. So I'm here to tell you there is hope. I have a small list of reasons that I'm going to go over. So bear with me. Why there is hope. And my first reason is, there is hope because of his pardon. Alright? God sent Jesus Christ as our pardon. Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. So we all sin. So the wages of those sin is death. But Jesus Christ came and said, no, I'm going to pardon you from that death. For the wages of sin is death. So we have a death sentence hanging over our head. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there is hope because of his pardon. John 3:17, it says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right, that's a pardon. You know, I can't think of all the details of that guy who was given a pardon and he rejected it. All right, but we've been given that pardon. So there is hope because of his pardon. Acts 2:21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have the opportunity to get saved because of his pardon. So there is hope because of his pardon. The second thing is, there is hope because of his peace. So if you haven't figured it out already, these are all P's. 10 different things with P's, can you believe it? There is hope because of his peace. All right? And I love this verse. It might have been one of the first verses I learned here while I was when I first started coming to this church. Psalm 119, 165. I remember me and Marty talking about it. I think he's the one that said it to me. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So there is hope because of his peace. Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. All right? So there is hope. We still got hope. You know, a lot of us have been kind of hurting, you know, with Felipe leaving. You know, that hurts. That was kind of a depressing time for me, and yet it was exciting, I know. But, you know, there's hope. We have a lot of hope here. Luke 7:50, it says, and he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. All right? John 20:21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. So Jesus Christ wants us to have peace. And there is hope because of that peace. John 20:26 says, and after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. And I love this next one. You had better be happy that your God and Savior, that you're not his enemy, all right? Because in Romans 16:20 it says, I like this, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. I don't know, that seems like a contradictory thing. The God of peace shall bruise Satan. All right, so this God of peace is something we have hope. Because of him, there is hope. There is hope because of his presence. There is hope because of his presence. Matthew 28:20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You know, sometimes we think, well, boy, you look around in the world and you say, God, are you here? You look around and you say, you know, why is all this stupid stuff going on? What's going on here? But with that one verse, he is with us always. I am with you always. So in the worst of your times, in the most depressing of your times, God is with you. So there's hope because of his presence. The fourth is there is hope because of his power. There is hope because of his power. Oops, sorry. Can't get to the first page. Genesis. In Genesis 1, it goes on and on. You know, you think, well, you know, sometimes I don't see God's power, I guess. Some days I get up and I'm, you know, you just go through your tasks, you do everything you need to do, you get it done, you go back to bed, you're done today. You know, your day after day. But we got to remember God's power. And I guess the best place for this is in Genesis 1 here. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. 1:6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters. And it happened. 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered. God spoke this world into existence. You know, you can read just Genesis 1. He made all these things. He made them. He created them by speaking them. He said it, and it happened. There's hope because of his power. God's got some power. God's got power that we can't even fathom. We can't even understand it. And where's the other one? Another one that I just love, if I can find it here. Genesis 1:16. And God made two great lights, and the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. You know, they're just now finding some of these things. Scientists are just now discovering them. And you know what? That didn't even take up a whole line in the Bible. It took up a, what do you call that? A compound sentence, part of a sentence. I love that. But boy, does it show his power. Oh, he made the stars also. You know, that's great. That is one powerful God. I don't know why people would try to mess with that. So, you know, you hear that one little line, and you ought to say, wow, my God is powerful. He is powerful. And that alone should give you great peace. So there is hope because of his power. There is hope because of his provision. I know the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, and again, his provision to this church, his provision to you as individuals, that's great, man. There's hope because of his provision. You know, and again, provision, what's that? Man, that's stuff. And I know I have way more stuff than I deserve or need, but God is great. He is so good to us. And again, this church, a wonderful building, you know, new roof. That's all I need. It's a new roof. I like it when it doesn't leak on us. But what a wonderful blessing. So God has taken care of us, and there is hope because of his provision. And we all ought to stop every day and thank him for those provisions that he's given to each and every one of you individually, whatever it is. Thank him for that, even if it's getting it out of a dumpster, whatever. But boy, oh boy, thank him. Thank him. There is hope because of his protection. I actually had to stretch this one a little bit, believe it or not. And the problem is, protect. All right, how many times is protect in the Bible? Anybody know? This one shocked me. It's not in the Bible. The word protect is not in. Protection is only in the Bible one time. But it's kind of a stretch and it's kind of not. All right, the problem is, you know, again, protect by in the name itself is not in there. But it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So that's where my protection is. He keeps us from evil. Keeping me from evil says there is hope because of his protection. In Jude 1:24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So not only is he able to protect us, but he stops you from falling. It said there, to keep you from falling. You know, too many times we're walking down the wrong path, and that something in our way is going to, that sin is going to trip us, and we're going to fall. But God can keep us from falling. That's some protection. You know, it's like, again, who was it? I was going to put the big bubble wrap all around. Was that Aunt Hazel? I was going to put bubble wrap around you so you wouldn't fall and break a bone. But you know what? God doesn't need to do that. He can keep us from falling. And those sins that are in our way, that's a stumbling block. You're going to hit it. You may stumble, but don't let it make you fall. But God can keep you from falling. I was going to finish that. Well, I lost that verse. But, okay, he is able to keep us from falling. So there is hope because of his protection. There is hope because of his patience. 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And in Psalm 86:15, it says, But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Truthfully, like we talked earlier about all the stupid things going on in the world, I know, and Dave's preached about this over and over, if he were anywhere near in the shoes of God, if I was anywhere near in the shoes of God, I would have destroyed this world already. I mean, you know, how many times did God say to Noah, step aside, let me slay them all, let me just kill them all. You know, we deserve that. He has the right to do that. This world today, there's just, it seems to me like, what? Why hasn't he? But he has patience, and there is hope because of that patience. And sometimes, like Dave has said and I've said, I get impatient with God's patience. It's like, oh, come on, Lord, please, straighten this out. But I want him to have patience with me, but I can't believe how patient he is with the wickedness around us. But overall, again, God knows better than we do, and I'm thankful that there is hope because of his patience. And I know he has been patient with me, as the Bible says, O wretched man that I am, and I thank him for that. But there is hope because of his patience. There is hope because of his prophecy. There's hope because of his prophecy. And you may say, well, how? You know, what's that have to do with anything? Well, I've talked about all the prophecy in the Bible before, and I mean, we've all heard it. But we can take one text, 1 Samuel 10:1. Let's turn to that. Oops, there we go. 1 Samuel 10:1. And this is just an unbelievable chapter here, but I'm going to read 6 or so verses. 1 Samuel 10:1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin. Now this is a prophecy, after prophecy, after prophecy. So kind of listen along here. Then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre. That's a prophecy. In the border of Benjamin, that's where he's going to find them. That's a prophecy, at Zelzah. And they will say unto thee, that's another prophecy. They will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorroweth for you. That's a prophecy. He didn't know any of this. Saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, another prophecy, and there shall meet thee three men, a prophecy, going up to God to Bethel. That's a prophecy. This guy didn't know all this was going to happen. He's saying this is going to happen in the future, very near future. One carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves. Prophecy, prophecy. Three loaves of bread. You know, it wasn't 3 gallons of milk, it was 3 loaves of bread. You know, I mean, the prophecy. And another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee. They're gonna speak with you. They're going to say hello. Another prophecy. And give thee 2 loaves of the bread. Not 3 loaves, not 1 loaf, but that's a prophecy. Which thou shalt receive of their hands. He's going to take it. That's a prophecy. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Another prophecy. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? Well, you know, how did he know the garrison of the Philistines were going to be there? It's a prophecy. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery. Each one of these is a prophecy. With a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. And thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. I don't believe he was a prophet before that point. And so that's another prophecy, that he's going to be a prophet, that he's going to prophesy. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. For God is with thee, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And here's the key. And all those signs came to pass that day. All those signs came to pass that day. Everything that he had told him. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. So this, again, I have to use this example. Although I was going to use Mrs. T on this one, and she's not here. Nice. That's like me standing up here and saying, after I leave here today, you are going to go, you know, Larry Graves is going to go to the Borders bookstore on the edge of Cherville, and you will bump into Mrs. T and Mrs. Lawrence, all right? And they're going to tell you that a book you were looking for, it's been sold out, but that you can find it at a bookstore in Valparaiso. And after you get the book, you're going to go down to the swampland down by Thayer over there in Indiana, and there you will meet three men that are on their way up to the Lowell Baptist Church, and they will be on their way to a potluck dinner. You know, now that one's probably, that's not really a prophecy, that's just normal. But, you know, and then one will be carrying a huge roast, and the other will have three loaves of bread that were fresh out of the oven, and another will have a fresh jar of milk that was just fresh this morning from the cow. And all these three men will greet you and give you two of the loaves of bread, which you will take from them. Then you will go up to the house of God, but there will be a bunch of people out there that don't want you to come in. But you will meet a couple of church people, and one of them will have a violin and a harp, and they will help you into the church. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will realize that you need to get saved. And your life will be changed, and you will start speaking out for the Lord, and you will go preaching on the streets of Lowell. You know, that's what that's saying. And then that later on that day, have all that stuff happen. You know, that's prophecy. That's I counted probably 30 different prophecies in that one little section. To have all that come to pass, all right? So there is hope because of his prophecy, which brings me to the next hope. It's already the ninth hope, so don't worry. It's not going to go too much longer. There is hope because of his past performance. Romans 4:21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. For one prophecy to come true like today would be pretty much of a miracle. You know, if I said something was going to happen, you know, and you get these Gene Dixon people and, you know, they're kind of goofy. They say something is going to happen, you know. But to have the Bible, I believe, has 2,500 prophecies in it. And I think that they say that like there's 2,000 of them that have come true already. So those prophecies, for that many prophecies to come true, and not one of them was a dud, not one of them didn't come true, but for something like that to happen, it's something like 1 in 10 to the 2,000th power. You know, so it's 10 with 2,000, you know, zeros after it. That's the chances of all those things coming true. So God's past performance is something that gives me hope. You know, again, one of these clairvoyants or what do you call them? Jean Dixon, what do they call her? I don't know, a jerk. But whatever they are. You know, yes, they get something right every once in a while. You know, but never do they, you know, are they without error. They have error after error, you know. So people believe in those things, and it's sad. So there is hope because of his past performance. There is hope because of his promises. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." Titus 2:13, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." There's hope because of his promises. This Bible is full of promises. Some promises are to the Jews. Some promises are to us. Some promises only pertain to the Old Testament. Some promises are, you know, all to us, and some are a mixture to everybody. But this thing is full of promises. And, you know, I was thinking last night, See, that's when I don't write it down. Sometimes I don't wake up in the night and write it down. That's bad. But Jesus Christ on the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them. You know, I got thinking, is that a question? Is that like, is that a request? Or is that Jesus telling God, "Forgive them"? To me, I got thinking, at first I was thinking, well, that's just kind of Jesus Christ, the Son, asking his Father. And I got thinking about that. I'm kind of looking at that as a promise. I'm looking at that as Jesus Christ promising me that he will forgive you. And I got, you know, that might be something to that. So, Father, forgive them. He has forgiven us. It's whether or not we ask for that forgiveness and accept him. But that's starting with that promise on the cross. He's saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I take that as a promise that he will forgive us. John 14:3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." What a promise. What a promise. "And receive you up unto myself, that where I am, there ye may also be." Be also. Don't want to mix up the versions there. So that's a promise. John 14:18, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." That's a promise. 2 Thessalonians 2:16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." He's given us this good hope through grace. In 1 Timothy 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." There's hope. You know, we all ought to be really excited. You know, and back to that Philippi thing. You know, it's sad, but yet it's exciting. You know, it's the same thing with the world. Boy, I look out at the world and, oh, I'm sad. I cry over that. You know, we had a lot of tears this last week with them leaving. But you know what? I cry over the world. I cry over this stupid stuff that's going on. And yet I'm excited because God gave us all these promises. God gave us this book that we can study. God gave us all this hope. And we don't appreciate it sometimes. We don't have that hope. So this is supposed to be a cheer 'em up message. We have the hope. We have all these hopes. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, in hope of eternal life. Well, there again, I don't have to be hoping for eternal life. I know I have eternal life. So I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Titus 3:7, "That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So we're made heirs. That's another hope. And Jesus Christ is that hope. Jesus Christ holds the key to our pardon. Jesus Christ is the only hope of eternal life. So remember, don't be, as the first verse said, even as others which have no hope, because there is hope. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for giving us all these hopes. Lord, it's not just hope, but it's the truth, it's real, and I thank you so much for it. And Lord, I just pray that you would, again, help us to remember that we have hope through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.